Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Thank you for coming back to my channel. So talking about our presidency of the European Union, because Republic of Ireland, we've taken over the presidency. It's a rotating thing. Methinks it's the eighth time we've had it, because of course it goes back to the days of the European Economic Community, which we joined in 1973. Excuse me. So we joined New Year's Day 1973, same day as Denmark and the United Kingdom. And it was a 6 month presidency rotating that got up to 12 members, expansion 1995 to 15 members, expansion, you know, 2004, 2007. Croatia joining, was it about 9 years ago, something like that? All right, so 27 European Union member states. It peaked to 28 because Croatia joined before the United Kingdom departed. So we held it from the first instant and we'll hold it to. New Year's Eve. Okay, the stroke of midnight, a pass to, I can't even wait for which country, and it was Cyprus held it before it. So this is, I should say, presidency of the count of the European Union, not the presidency itself, right? So there's the Council of the European Union is a meeting, really, of the heads of government of the 27 member states, and they meet sort of every 6 months. It garners a lot of media attention. People often don't know what it is. So what do the duties entail? Well, the prerogatives are partly providing the chair of the European Council, okay, and then setting the items for discussion and the order they're going to be discussed in, really organising what the council is going to be doing. Meant to be an honest broker between the 27 member states, including us, striving to reach an agreement, and then negotiating legislation between the European Commission, which can propose. Only the European Parliament can pass it, and so on, and the European Council. So this is co-decision thing, and the European Parliament is, what's it, digressively proportional. So it's a grossly unequal system, whereby the smallest member states are hugely overrepresented. Methinks Malta is going on, got something like 14 times the per capita representation of Germany. So equality is supposed to be a core principle of the European Union. You see how totally unequal it is. You wouldn't accept this under any other circumstances if whites had 14 times the representation of non-white people per capita, or if men had 14 times more women, and not just because they're in this profession, but like by law it's set in. So you see how anti-democratic the European Union is. And so we go on. All right. I say, but these member states, they agree that it's true. They did agree it. That doesn't mean that it's not inequitable. You know, various laws were passed, agreed centuries ago, which we now recognise were grossly unequal and discriminatory, and therefore they had to be repealed. Some of this was agreed in the mid 20th century, and here we are. Should never have been agreed, but just because this is the is ought problem, all right? Just because it is this way doesn't prove that it ought to be that way. That's not a defence. There's an unjust system, so we have to maintain it because it is the system. No, we don't, right? We can hope for better. We can tackle problems. Anyway, so what are the items of the agenda, as Dublin set out? Well, our government, Simon Coveney is our foreign minister. God save us. He's a complete ignoramus. How old is he? He's about 54 years old. He's from Cork. He more or less inherited his seat. About 1999, his father was a TD for one of the Cork constituencies. He died. Simon Coveney then stood for Fine Gael. That was it. He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. He went to the Royal Agricultural College, as it was then, on Cirencester, United Kingdom. It's now raised to the status of a university. I don't know if he ever worked in farming. So our motto is strength with unity. So we want to improve the economy of the European Union, greater innovation, okay, so make us all wealthier, better growth, because we're coming out from a difficult few years. And then we'll be after COVID and the Ukraine war and this war that Israel and the USA launched against Iran. So more energy independence, having wind turbines and solar panels everywhere, and integrating the European electric grid. So Republic of Ireland, we've got more wind energy we can cope with sometimes, selling it to mainland European countries, often going through the United Kingdom, which obviously not in the EU. Now we can have lines directly to France and Spain and so on, but those are very long undersea cables, are very vulnerable. Now they're always a little bit vulnerable, but the longer they are, the more vulnerable they are. Okay, so bolstering democracy, human rights and rule of law. But unfortunately, we took a very retrograde step where we legalized the murder of little children. So we declared war on our own children in Ireland, which is sickening. Now, there's a lot wrong with Ireland in the old days. But on one issue, we were morally upstanding. and that is that we defended our children. APK children were sometimes badly treated, were sometimes assaulted, were sometimes even sexually molested, which is sickening, but they were not to be murdered, okay? We did not have the medical profession allowed to murder little kids or their mothers, their fathers, and so on, and now that's happening. So we've forgotten that one, and Simon Coveney is one of the guilty parties on this. Okay, so to beef up security, but we're spending almost nothing on defense, 0.2% of our budget, our GDP in defense. We had these 27, whatever, military vehicles in the Irish Republic. We gave them to Ukraine, but they were so bad they turned them down. Okay, so carry on funding Ukraine. Republic of Ireland, we're militarily neutral. We're not politically neutral. We can give them weaponry and so on. It's easy to use the money to buy it or give them money for other things. So we've got to be more competitive, but the European Union is over-regulated. Beef up industry, partly because we might not be able to buy shells and things in the United States, to meet the challenge of artificial intelligence. Can we make this a job creator rather than a job destroyer, and regulate the digital economy? Because you think it's very worrying. I mean, it's good in some ways, and I don't want to be a complete Luddite. People stand in the way of progress. Every advanced technology is posed by some people and gets rid of some jobs. You know, we do self-checkout in the supermarket, self-check-in in the airport, and self-check-in in a hotel even years ago. With self-driving trains, there can be self-driving trucks, self-driving buses, self-driving taxis, self-flying planes. There can be robots doing construction, doing agriculture. Where are the jobs of the people going to be? Even a solicitor was telling me his firm has reduced by 50% its training places because the binary tasks are better done by AI. So these things are being phased out, and they can even do a lot of surgeries and stuff like that. So where are the jobs of all people going to be? They're going to be AI tutors. We're going to have any teachers. Who's going to have a job? All the profits are going to go to the likes of Elon Musk, and the human race is going to be surplus to requirements. We're going to be reduced to some sort of hell at class. So I don't know how we're going to square that circle. But okay, if we do want to enhance our security, we're going to have to spend more. And we're a very prosperous country, partly because we spend almost so little on security. All right. And the budget. So the budget is a long-term budget, going to be finalized in 2028, now long, long after our term ends. And that's going to go on for another 6 years. Possible enlargement. You know, is North Macedonia going to be allowed to join? Is Albania going to be allowed in? And I would let some of these European countries in because, okay, they meet most of the convergence criteria. And the other thing was also gives hope to Ukraine that you won't have to wait forever. And Moldova, Georgia's taken a step backwards. Energy transition. Okay, how are we going to tackle climate change? How are we going to move to all renewable energy? Is it realistic to do in 20 years? We're going to have to push it back. Lithuania is going to take the presidency. It rotates. So it only comes after every 13 and a half years. So do you think it's a good agenda? Are we going to have to set out goals? Pretty good at diplomacy because, you know, in English alphabetical order in the United Nations, and we used to sit in between Iraq and Israel. How about that? Okay. Right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then on PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.